I can't fight this feeling any longer.
Dude.
Oh my gosh.
Well, first things first, is it recording?
It's recording.
Did you hit record this time?
I hit, look, there's a red light and it is moving.
Yeah, and there's a really awesome Argyle post-show ride home that is now gone forever.
Yeah, sorry everybody. I would have gotten you an Argyle post-show car ride home, but I didn't hit the record button, and I'm the one in this family that does podcasts, so I don't know. Read into that what you will.
Yeah, that was three out of whatever it was, at least. It was horrible.
That was really bad. So
I mean, they jumped the shark like six times.
Yeah, but this...
Don't see that movie.
But this movie...
What movie?
Lisa Frankenstein.
Lisa Frankenstein.
Which I will admit, you were like, let's go see it, and at first I'm like, okay, I'll go with you if you want.
Maybe you liked it better than I did.
Oh my gosh. So, first of all...
That's a yes, folks.
First of all, one great thing, I mentioned this to you in the theater, about Alamo Drafthouse, is because they do traditional previews, but there's a whole pre-show before those start. And they always tie in the previews, or that pre-show, to parts of the movie. Themes, actors, whatever. And so, some of the delight you get from seeing a show at Alamo Drafthouse is some point in the movie you're like, oh! Like, if you don't get the correlation, you get it at some point. The light bulb goes off at least once. So,
at the Alamo, pre-show was amazing. REO Speedwagon.
Yeah, and I was singing really loud because, well...
Because she likes karaoke.
And was really happy to see that was manifested in the movie. So.
I did not realize that this was directed by Zelda Williams, the daughter of Robin Williams.
Yes.
Who was named after Princess Zelda in the Legend of Zelda video
series.
That's right.
That's right.
But, you know, I thought it was directed masterfully.
It was.
And it's not an original film in any way.
Yeah, there's a lot of derivative going on there.
Definitely an homage film.
Yeah.
And not, you know, people would say, oh, well, Tarantino's films are all homage films. Yeah, but he's probably one of the best directors of all time at that. This isn't that. But... if you like Heathers, if you like Weird Science, if you like Young Frankenstein, if you like Evil Dead, you will probably like this movie.
Yeah, I definitely got so many Heathers feelings in it. And hey, you know, have fun. Wear your favorite 80s get up to this movie because you're all going back in time.
Yeah, I went in dark. I didn't know that it was set in the 80s. It had this like 80s vibe. Movie poster.
The pre-show is definitely tons of 80s.
Yeah, that's what kind of tipped it off. Like, this maybe this is set in the 80s. And like, it was. I liked how it was the Weird Science outcast. And then this other thing comes in, Edward Scissorhands.
Ish, yeah.
You know, type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The ending was good. We'll get there in a minute. But it kind of subverted a bit of the tropes. It definitely had the cliquey high school jocks and high school... What do you want to call it?
Yeah,
the cheerleaders.
Yeah, the different groups, the clubs.
Yeah, they were like super, well, I'm not going to even want to be seen with you type person.
Including, and then also goth was represented.
Yeah, goths were there. It was 89, so yeah, it was a thing. But it was a little bit satisfying when certain people die. Full spoilers.
Yeah.
When the rapist kid dies.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And you and I felt, we're like, he's like, oh, let's go have you sit down somewhere. And as soon as they start going toward the bedrooms, we're like, oh, God, this kid.
Yeah,
we were right.
Feelings there.
Yeah. He got what was coming.
Definitely did.
Yeah.
It's definitely way better than Argyle. Oh. Got a text message. So we're right next to a rocket, actually.
Yeah. You can see the SpaceX rocket from here. It's off of Santa Fe Boulevard in Littleton, Colorado.
It's kind of weird.
It's got blue lights around it.
Those are like,
whatever.
Anti-vandalism, like monitor things, whatever. Mm. But the premise, right? So this woman, this girl, senior, her mother was killed by an axe murderer, Scream style, right? She flips out. Her dad gets remarried
like super
quickly,
super fast, yeah.
To the worst woman ever.
Oh, and I don't remember her name, but...
Carla Cugino. And her character's name was Janet.
And she's from recently Fall of the House of Usher.
Yeah.
So that was delightful to see her in that role.
And she's in a lot of things like that. She's in Spy Kids.
Yeah, that's right.
She's a really good actress. Nails this bitchy role. Like, she is like, after she's dead, they can't find her. They're filing a missing persons report, and her daughter is in detail describing her and like what she wears. And they said, "Oh yeah, she's total bitch." Like just because that's what she like. And she was wearing the bitch uniform.
Yeah, then everybody's even still like, you know, it's kind of nice that she's not here. She's a terrible person. I loved.
But the sister, who was very vapid and shallow, ended up being pretty sincere, actually.
Yeah, yeah. She was shallow, but she was actually probably the kindest person.
Yeah.
In there, at least to Lisa. And I will say, I loved Lisa's arc. I got a lot of joy out of that, because you do just see her just miserable, rightly so, yeah, at the beginning of the movie. And through the darkest, in the darkest possible ways, she just kind of blossoms. Through the end of the film, it's awesome and very dark.
It is super dark. It is super campy.
Oh, so campy.
And done very well.
Yeah,
the writing was great. The dude, I haven't looked up the names.
It's cold.
What this guy's getting over, that's a yeah.
Okay, yeah, I don't know what he thought he was doing there.
This person is weird.
Yes,
that's one thing about the Drive Home podcast, is that we are actually driving.
That's right.
And I don't have a car in front of me and a car behind me like Jerry Seinfeld, because, you know,
yeah,
being a mediocre comedian with a great show.
We're also not on video.
All that gets you money.
Yeah.
He has money.
He does have a lot of money.
Talent? No. But money is.
Ooh, you heard it here.
Hey, it happens. He's got one joke, and Gilbert Gottfried did it better.
What is that all about?
Pretty much. Anyway, I enjoyed it. It was, I don't think I enjoyed it as much as you, though.
I got it. Okay, so remember, you know, I opened this with singing REO Speedwagon.
Yeah, you karaoke the whole song.
Which again, I did karaoke it in the theater, and like I even was like gesturing with like the drums and everything. And then to see that happen in the movie, I was like, okay. Yeah, it was super cool. I liked it a lot. Like you said, it's super campy. And it gets so ridiculous, but there was never like a groan moment. It never reached that level. It wasn't like, oh, I can't believe they did that. It was so entertaining.
Yeah. I'm going to compare it a little bit to Edward Scissorhands a bit.
Yep, yep.
Because, you know, for the Alamo, Zelda Williams gets on and says, well, this is inspired by...
A few movies.
Weird Science, Edward Scissorhands.
Bride of Frankenstein.
The Cabinet of Callisto.
Yeah, I didn't remember that.
The 1920s film. It's a really great avant-garde French film. I think it's French. Maybe it's German. I've seen it once. It was like a film class. It's really good. Definitely had the visual art style from that, and they kept on showing like the Man in the Moon, the one where they showed the rocket into the moon's face from like the 1920s or something like that.
Yeah,
15 silent movie. But in Edward Scissorhands, the dude's out of place, doesn't really talk, same here, and they just kind of accept that in the world. This one is, they take that a little bit, turn it on its head a little bit. He's not accepted in the world, but they don't explain how it happens, except for
lightning,
giant ball of lightning.
Yeah.
And electricity is what did it. Not like other things just weren't happening.
Isn't, yeah,
it? And that was refreshing. Didn't have to get into the lore of it.
Yeah.
It had like this huge background. It's completely absurd, and they just lean into the absurdity.
They really do.
And it works.
Yeah.
Like, and that's how they did it in Edward Scissorhands. They just leaned into the absurd.
Ooh.
And made it work.
Coming up on like a lot of police
and
activity
we have
right here.
And a rack here or something.
Yeah, something going on. Oh, yeah. Yep. That's bad. Dude. Oh.
Yeah.
Zoinks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens here a lot,
actually.
It's
starting to snow. It is
starting. It's not even snowing.
It's barely starting
to flurry. This is just looks like people driving like dumbasses and hit a couple of people and ended up in someone's house.
Yeah, that didn't look
good. Looks like it kind of hit the house.
Kind of looked like that. So, yeah, super cool. You know, again, if you're a child of the 80s, you should absolutely go see it.
Yeah. If you liked Heathers, if you even kind of liked Edward Scissorhands, you know, if you like sneaker phones.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
very 80s. Now, one thing is the dad from Stranger Things.
Yeah, he's the dad in
plays
this.
Plays dad. It's the same character.
It pretty much is.
And I hope he gets more roles like this.
Super obtuse, just your garden variety, you know, yeah, not really paying attention.
Disengaged 80s
dad. Yes.
He's being typecast. I'm here for it.
He's actually more likable in this movie than he is in Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it's like you said, the writing is on point. The jokes are great. I really, one of my favorites was like, was that Sherry? No, it's Lisa. I cackled out loud many times.
Yeah. Very funny.
It was good.
Was never bored the entire time.
Yeah. And it's short. Speaking of that, the length is perfect.
101 minutes, hour and a half type movie.
It's good.
Doesn't linger. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It's edited quickly. It's, I haven't looked at the budget or anything on this one, but it's probably fairly low budget. They have a couple of sets.
Yeah.
Mostly one house, basically.
Yeah, and a tanning bed.
Yeah, the tanning bed is hilarious.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to rate it?
So, I'll let you go first on this one.
I'm going to give it, like I said, entertainment value, all of it, for what it is. I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10.
I figured you would.
Stinky tears.
Stinky tears. That was probably the one joke they went to over and over again, and it always worked.
It landed perfect. You're like, don't cry. Oh my God.
I'm going to get an 8 out of 10 back massagers.
Oh.
Don't touch the end.
Quote unquote. Back massager. Yeah, don't touch the end.
Yeah, I mean, the comedy was just so on point.
It was good. So, yeah, so enjoy it. Wear your 80s if, you know, get a group of your friends. I think it'd still be enjoyable by someone for today's standards. They're going to probably be like, wait, did this really wear that in the 80s and stuff like that? But you could easily take this plot and drop it in the middle of today.
You know,
just with updated looks, and that's it.
Yeah, and it's definitely a, do you need to see it in a theater? No.
Nah.
But you definitely need to see it with people.
Yeah. It's super fun with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It probably will be on video streaming.
Also might be fun if you're quirky like us. Great date night movie.
It was good.
Yeah. Totally enjoyed it for that. All right. That has been The Car Ride Home. We are home. So enjoy Lisa Frankenstein. And can't wait to get this live, unlike Gargoyle, but that one. If anything, the lack of a podcast means don't even go bother seeing that movie.
So. Yeah, it was some good conversation, but not a good movie.
Exactly. All right. Adios, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.